Welcome, everyone, to the Apocalary Podcast. Look, it's our pre-Christmas edition. I'm Steve Hees.
Lawrence Van Beek.
I was going to go with Santa.
Reverend Dr. Lawrence Van
Beek. Reverend Dr. Claus. Claus.
Yeah, well, I married Mrs. Claus, so.
Oh, yeah. I hear she's a very lovely lady.
Oh, she's lovely. Yeah. Lady in red, you know.
We're sorry. I just want to say that right now. We're sorry.
I apologize.
Okay, we'll move along. Okay. So, Laird, today we're going to talk about Daniel 12, right? What are we going to talk about Daniel 12?
Daniel 12 is, remember, everything that Daniel has done has involved, has ended with the Greek Empire, right? Hmm. With Alexander the Great and divided it amongst his four. In the earlier three visions, we had said, we had pushed it to the Roman Empire, said, yeah, you could be talking about the Roman Empire there, you know, doing a kind of a foreshadowing of what's going to happen with the ten toes and the clay feet and all that. Hmm. But then when we got into the visions, we saw that he was going very heavy on the Persian Empire and then the Greeks, right? And then the dividing to Alexander's. And in chapter 11, he spends most of the chapters talking about the Ptolemies and the Seleucids fighting over the beautiful land.
Right.
Oddly enough, when we get to chapter 12, even the NIV Study Bible and others will say Daniel's now talking about the distant future. And mainly because it says I'm going to talk about something that happens in the distant future. But so that's where they get that idea.
So it was a real reach on their part to get to that, eh?
Hmm. Yeah, it wasn't much of a reach. And the only thing that bothered me is I don't have access to all the commentaries I would have if I was home, Steve. And the guys that I read, so I pulled some stuff up on the internet, and the people that I read are all dyed-in-the-wool futurists. So when they read this last chapter of Daniel, every one of them sees the end of Revelation, right? The 3.5 years, the great tribulation of Revelation, the coming of the Antichrist. Some of the commentaries are saying that these verses are talking about Islam, and others are saying it's talking about the Catholic Church. And they're jumping into all of that futuristic stuff that happens in Revelation, right? All of the dispensational type stuff that goes on. And that's okay to do, because there are people that do that. Now, you know that I don't do that very much. And I was hoping to get a hold of Golden Gate. Golden Gate wrote the Word Commentary, which is an evangelical group, right? The Word Biblical Commentary, and he wrote it. But Golden Gate is one of the guys that sees Daniel as having been written in 160.
Okay.
160-ish. I throw it that way, right? In the Maccabean period. Because of his clarity, he also sees everything in Daniel pointing to that period that he felt that Daniel actually lived, that the author of Daniel actually lived. And remember, I take it, I'm okay with Daniel being the prophet that lived in the time of Nebuchadnezzar. I still like that, and I'll stay with that. But I didn't find anybody that handled this section other than the futurists.
Oh, okay.
So I'm going to talk about it. And the way that I see it, and then we're going to leave it just a little bit loose at the end, because I wanted to read Golden Gate and Joyce. Actually, I wanted to read Joyce as well, and see where they were at, but I couldn't. So let's just do it, Steve. Let's work through it.
Sounds good.
And I'll be okay, and then I'll fall apart, and then we'll go from there.
And we'll put you back together again.
Yes. If all the king's horses and all the king's men can do that.
Yeah.
So anyway, this one starts off, verse number one. Now, are you reading and I'm interpreting, or?
Do you want me to, are we going to read the whole thing? Let's do it if you want.
Well, just read chapter, verse one and two.
Okay.
And three.
Okay, yeah, and it's only 12 verses long, so folks, no worries. Here we are, yeah. Daniel 12, starting at verse one. At that time shall rise Michael, the great prince who has charge over your people. And there shall be a time of trouble, as never has been a time, or has never been since there was a nation till that time. But at that time your people shall be delivered, and everyone whose name shall be found written in the book. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt.
Great. You want to read three as well?
Sure thing. Sorry. And those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky above, and those who turn to righteousness like stars forever and ever.
Okay. So you remember this kind of wording in the book of Revelation as well, right?
Yeah, very similar, isn't it?
Yeah. And so he starts off with Michael, and he, remember, Michael was the one that had to go and fight the prince of Persia in Daniel's vision in chapter 10, leading into chapter 11. Well, Michael's here again, but then in the verse number 2, he says, there will be a time of distress such as has not happened from the beginning of the nations until then. And at that time, everyone whose name... So this time of distress that Daniel talks about, the futurists will put this time of distress future to us, right? Because they always do future to whenever they happen to be right. Okay. So now it's yeah. That's not mocking it. That's just the way it has to be.
No.
Otherwise, I'm
quietly mocking them. You can be the professional.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Because if they talked about the time they lived, they would be presentists and not futurists. But so they're talking about something that's going to happen in the future, and their point is. And this is the one place where I take exception, is part of the point is always something greater than everything that has happened has to happen. And they'll look at Daniel's time and they'll say, you know what, it wasn't the greatest distress that happened during Daniel's time. Okay? But what you want to point out is everybody up until the time of Daniel and after Daniel uses this terminology. Everybody, you know, lots of people.
Yep.
Lots of the writers of scripture. So Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 7 says, how awful will that time be? Will the day be? There will be none like it. It'll be a time of trouble for Jacob, right? So he talks about that. And then the commentators that see that, they say, Jeremiah was obviously talking about the Babylonian captivity. That was the thing that was pointing that he was looking at that time. And so he was talking about the Jews going into captivity. He says, nothing like that will ever happen again. And Isaiah talks about that kind of stuff. Amos, they talk about the day of the Lord. And Amos is the one, he says, you know, you're talking about the day of the Lord as if this is a good thing for the Jewish people. He says, look, God is going to judge you first. And so they all talk about this kind of stuff. Psalms talks about it. Joel talks about it. Zephaniah talks about it. These terrible, you know, nothing like this has ever happened and will ever happen again. In the New Testament, you pick it up in Matthew 24, right? In Mark 11, which are, and in Revelation 6, those are the ones that resemble that they pick it up in the New Testament as well. And they're all talking about this incredible time of calamity. Well, people that want to speculate about the future, the thing that they say is there's something bigger coming because it hasn't happened yet, right?
Right.
But really, yeah. Anybody that looked at, you know, if you were looking at this time in the past and you looked at the Napoleonic Wars, you know, the time when Napoleon did his whole thing across Europe, you'd say there was far more death and destruction under Napoleon than there ever was at this time.
Right.
You know. And if you looked at the First World War, the Great War, you'd say, you know, that was worse than Napoleon's time. Unless you happen to be the guys living in Napoleon's time. You look at the Second World War and you go, yeah, there was nothing worse than that ever happened, right?
Yeah.
And so, but that is exactly what this type of language is meaning to say. It's not saying that there is actually nothing worse has ever happened. It's saying that this is an incredible devastation.
Right.
And I think what happens is people lose... They become so technical with the language that they lose what language does. It's sort of like when John the Baptist, and he's down in Jerusalem, right? And he's baptizing people, and the scripture says all of Jerusalem went to see him.
Yeah.
Well, that didn't mean all of Jerusalem went to see him, right?
It's not like it's your turn now. Okay, it's That's my right. turn. I gotta go.
Some old guy didn't hear, and he didn't get down there. There's somebody missed it, right? He broke his leg on the way. He didn't make it.
So then it would have been some of Jerusalem went down, but no.
by our standards, he should have said, 82% of Jerusalem went to see him, or something like that. Yeah. But language doesn't do that. They just say all of Jerusalem went to see him, meaning many, many people went to see him.
Right, right.
And when it says that Jesus healed all of their afflictions, Jesus didn't heal all of the afflictions. But there were times he couldn't, right? When he went back to his hometown, he said, I couldn't do anything there. Nobody would believe me. Nobody would listen. Who wants to deal with those? I don't think he threw that in. Jesus isn't me.
he's much better than us. But no, I think it's a great, great point is that we always think these are the worst of times, right? We have this nostalgia about before, and we assume the worst is yet to come.
And we want to be so literal. Like when it's talking about, earthquakes and things are increasing, everybody now says, there's more earthquakes now than there's been ever, right? I don't know. I saw a little. I saw Land Before Time. There were lots of earthquakes in that. So,
and yes. Volcanoes. A well-known historical documentary. Reference
many times. It was Spielberg. I mean.
Sorry.
I think it was Spielberg. Anyway.
It wasn't Oliver Stone because then we couldn't trust it. But
I couldn't trust anything he does. But the whole point is that language. That's the way language works, right? Language works. You say things because they're understood,
right?
And you say things in a way that people understand. Actually, I have a friend up here, Gordy, and he said when he was a teenager, he actually made up words, like he combined words, and he'd say, I'd say to my mom something, and she'd say, that's not even a word, that's not proper. He said, but you understood what I was saying. She says, yeah, I understood what you're saying. He says, well, that's all that matters.
Yeah.
So the thing with words is. It's twofold. Words bring meaning, to people, but they're also said because they have meaning for people in the same phrases.
Yeah. It's always contextual, right, Larry? It's always to the audience that it was received in, not us, necessarily. Well, it could be us, but I think we want to jump to us rather than thinking, who's Daniel speaking to then?
Not who's... What was his audience? How did they hear things?
Yeah.
Right? Which in technical terms, they call that reader response. It's how the reader receives and responds is what matters.
Yep.
And New Testament scholarship has gone a little bit beyond that again. But you always have to come up with something new or you don't get a doctorate degree. So, except me, I got one without coming up with anything new at all. Anyway, so then he says this. He says, at that time, your people, everyone whose name is written in the book, will be delivered. And this is intriguing to me because he says, your people will be those whose names are written in the book. And you know where that comes from in the New Testament, right? Revelation and other places. And in some places, or in one place, it says your names will be removed from the book of life. In another place, it says your names will be entered into the book of life. And I think actually those both mean the exact same thing. Because they're using metaphors, right? We're going to write your name in the book, or we're going to remove your name from the book. It pretty much means the same thing. But the big thing here is Daniel's not talking to Christians here. So just a reminder, he's talking to the Jewish people.
Right.
So this is the same metaphor about the book, right? And your name's being written in. But this is a book talking about everlasting life for the Jewish people that he was talking to. That's kind of a nice little piece.
Yep.
And those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens and will lead many to righteousness, and they'll be like the stars forever and ever. Right? And you can see again where Revelation picks up on this. But I don't think that Daniel is speaking to that. There's a part of me. Remember before I said I think he in his visions Rome is the foot. And Rome is the last piece in his vision. And I'm wondering if I was correct on that. And if really the four generals of Alexander, the Ptolemy and the Seleucids are the end of that vision. Because everything he did points to that period of time, and he might still be. And then don't forget, even our NIV says, now we're talking about a future time. right. Future to us. Okay, the next piece.
All right, so you want me to pick four to, how far?
Four to six.
Four to the end of six. Here we go, folks. But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time. Sorry. Literally, the screen locked on me. Sorry. Seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, two others stood, one on this bank of the stream and one on that bank of the stream. And someone said to the man clothed in linen, who was above the waters of the stream, how long shall it be till the end of these wonders?
Okay. So really, he's working on another vision, right? And he's got the two, now he says men, I'm going to say angels. He's got the two angels on the river. Mm-hmm. And they're standing on either side of the river. In Revelation, they're standing on the shore of the sea. In one of his other visions, he's talking about the sea. And here it's the river. And he sees these two guys, and they say, how long? And now he reads the rest, verse 7.
Okay, picking it up at 7, folks. And I heard the man clothed in linen, who was above the waters of the stream, he raised his right hand and his left hand toward heaven, and swore by him who lives forever that it would be for a time, times, and half a time, and that when the shattering of the power of the holy people comes to an end, all these things would be finished.
Yeah, and there we go with our time, and half a time again. Mm-hmm. And I think if you take it with a calculator, that's 3.5 years. Depending on how long your year is, right? Is your year 360 days, 364, 365? Because they had big arguments in around this period of time as to how long a year should be. If you read the book of Enoch, there's the astronomical books that make this very argument about the length of a year. So I mean, they didn't have a whole lot to do with their time, so
yeah.
They would argue about how long a year should be. But anyway, so time and half a time is 3.5 years. Okay. So this guy says, how long will this persecution be? It'll be 3.5 years. And that's where I wanted to pick up on Golden Gate and those others. I wanted to see what they had to say about the Maccabean period with this 3.5 years. Because I know he had something to say, but I just don't know what it is.
Right.
And I couldn't find it because you still have to buy his book. You can't just pull it up online. But we could find that out later. But the futurists, of course, will bump this right to the end of time in Revelation.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we know that, or we're pretty sure that John, even if that's not the case for Daniel, we know that John picked up on that language and used it in Revelation as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Again, right, because it would be in context, right? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so verse 8, I heard, but I did not understand. And then I said, oh, my Lord, what shall be the outcome of these things?
Oh, and I forgot to mention.
Yeah.
Before you keep reading. No, you keep reading. This is okay. The thing I was going to mention is still coming.
Okay, well, look at us go. he said, go your way, Daniel, for the words are shut up and sealed until the time of the end. Want me to keep going?
Okay. No. So this is a kind of a cool one because Daniel gets the vision, right? And he doesn't understand the vision. And God says, well, it's okay. We're going to seal it until the time of the end. Of course, we never do get it, right? Unless Revelation is the unsealing of this, which is the possibility that people would point to.
Right.
But otherwise, I don't know where this book is sealed up. So.
Okay. Verse 10, many shall purify themselves and make themselves white and be refined, but the wicked shall act wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand. But those who are wise shall understand.
So here we go. Again, this is a prophetic way of saying that you can't stop what is going to happen. This thing is going to happen, right? Remember Revelation. Let he who acts wickedly continue to act wickedly. Let the righteous continue to be righteous. Because this thing is going to happen. Hmm. And Daniel says the same thing. He says, this thing is going to happen. It's for sure going to happen. And if he wrote it in the 500s, he was pointing to events that were, hundreds of years ahead. right. and said these things are going to happen. And the Jewish people have gone through these things many times through history. Yep. You know, they've got this period of time with the Ptolemies and the Seleucids. You have other periods of time in history. Of course, if you want to just do popular media, you got the Russian time when they were kicked out of Russia. Mm-hmm. Remember Fiddler on the Roof? That's all about that time in Russia. Mm-hmm. You got the time in Germany where they were kicked out of Germany. And in fairness to the Germans, nobody took them. The Germans offered them. Canada said no. The French helped get rid of them. So the Jewish people have gone through these times many times throughout history. Hmm. But I think the Maccabean was one of the periods of times that they were under this kind of persecution and pressure.
Okay. And then should I read 11, 12, 13 all together since they kind of seem to fit? And from the time that the regular burnt offering is taken away and the abomination that makes desolate is set up, there shall be 1290 days. Blessed is he who waits and arrives at the 1335th days. but go your way till the end, and you shall rest and shall stand in the allotted place at the end of days.
Yeah, and this is where I like to think that Daniel was the prophet, because he says this is what's going to happen, Daniel. Yeah, go and finish off your life now. This is the thing that you have to say. Now, 1290 days, of course, 3.5 years. I think in Revelation it's 1260 days, isn't it?
I don't remember, Larry.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Now I want to look it up, but I don't want to take the time. Anyway, so 1290 days and about 3.5 years. And blessed is the one who hangs in for another, what is that? That's another, what is that? Is that another 45 days? 1290 to 335 is 45 days, right? So if you can hang in that last month and a bit, that's pretty important. And that's why I just wish I had Golden Gate, because I'm wondering if it's pointing, to the whole thing with Hanukkah and all that. But I just don't know. And of course, my guys don't say anything in this little commentary. It just says this is likely pointing to the persecution of Antiochus Epiphanes. Remember when they do the sacrifice and Judas Maccabeus comes in, his grandfather kills a guy and Judas starts the uprising that creates the Maccabean period.
Right.
And if Daniel's pointing to that, I think it could very well be. It could be pointing to the future. The thing that we know for sure is that John picked up on his language here to talk about what was happening in his time. And that's the end of Daniel. That's all. And Merry Christmas to you, man. Go ahead.
Well, no, I was going to say, and the 1260, that's in Revelation 11 and 12.
Right.
It's mentioned in both.
Yeah. And why it's 30 days different, I don't know.
Yeah. Maybe I don't. I've got nothing. Different time zone.
We'll say it's a change. It's a difference from the Aramaic to the Hebrew text, or something like that.
That's a nice touch on it. maybe in the Septuagint it was actually moved up. Who knows?
Yeah. And one thing that you want to say to this too is like a guy like Golden Gate. He's an evangelical scholar, and the people that I read about him today said it was a terrible commentary, and they would always say he had no idea what he was talking about, and he threw out all kinds of bad stuff. But he was a good scholar, they would say at the end. But Golden Gate was, it's an evangelical commentary. They're very careful.
Right.
But that's how Golden Gate saw it. There's a lot of, don't forget, there's a great deal of Second Temple literature called the Pseudepigrapha, right?
Right.
And all of that Pseudepigrapha used names of people that lived earlier. That people that lived before Ezra. That was the big thing with Pseudepigrapha. You'd name someone that lived before Ezra, before the finding of the scrolls in the temple. And then you would write about your time as if someone else had said it. So if Daniel was written around in the intertestamental period, in Second Temple, then that does make sense. Even though I'm still okay with it being Daniel, writing in the 500s, still very much talking about you know, about Babylon and Persia and Greece and maybe Rome, and maybe Rome as well.
Yeah, and Daniel in the 500s, pointing at the Maccabean period, this works as just equally as well, right?
It certainly does, yeah. It certainly does. So if our audience is going to pick up a commentary by Golden Gate, just know what you're getting into, and it's worth reading. If you can handle that kind of stuff, it is worth reading.
So, yeah, no, that's Craig, good advice, Larry.
Yeah, I was going to say Craig Evans and Craig Broyles from Trinity Western University would have probably supported the Golden Gate stuff.
Okay.
Yeah. Interesting. If we can just throw out names that people don't know, we can, you know, dropping names works better when it's to your advantage. But,
yes. Yeah.
We'll drop them anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. I once drove Martin Hengel from one place to another. So.
Okay, there you go. And I've seen
German scholar from Tübingen.
Yeah, and I've seen Richard Simmons in an airport. So, you know, I mean, not every brush. and I hit Larry King with my bag, remember, once? Remember that?
And I spit on Dallas Holmes. I went to say hi to him, and for some reason I spit on him.
He deserved it.
Oh,
that's my story. He deserved it.
I have to admit, he was gracious, more gracious than I would have been at that point in time. So that's Daniel, Stevie, and a tremendous book in its own right, isn't it?
Yeah, and I really appreciate how you gave it context of, we got to see Daniel across a period of 80 years. Mm-hmm. We've seen Daniel across three different kings, and Daniel with unbelievable clarity talking about the Greek Empire, the split of the Greek Empire, and now pointing to the Maccabean period. It's just such a powerful book, and you know, because it gives context to Revelation that we read, you know, last year. So,
yeah,
my friend, that was awesome, as always. And folks, thanks so much for joining us. This is our Christmas break. We'll be back in 2 to 3 weeks. We are not going for any sort of substance abuse program or anything like that. This is literally us taking a Christmas break. It's not us trying to cover for something. But we'll be back in the new year. Who knows what season 3 will bring us? It will be something magical. I'm saying that hoping Larry will fill in here, but never mind. Anyway.
I haven't thought about anything.
Just joking. I'm just joking. That's what we do. Anyway, folks, thanks so much. Until next time, until the new year, Happy New Year, everyone. We'll see you on the Apocalyptic Podcast.